Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Thursday morning. Predators head coach Andrew Brunette will be with us later this hour at 7:30. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us at 8 o'clock. And I'm sure we'll get into this with Charles, Joe. But it's an interesting day at the NFL Combine yesterday. So let's just quickly run through the timeline here. So Jordan Schultz, NFL insider, friend of the show, by the way, Jordan Schultz, Fox Sports NFL insider, put this out there yesterday as it relates to the pursuit of Matthew Stafford. Said sources, Raiders minority owner Tom Brady recently hosted Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford at his home in Montana, where they spent time together and went skiing. Brady has been actively trying to convince Stafford to join the Raiders, and the discussions are ongoing. Several teams are interested in Stafford if the Rams decide to move him, with Las Vegas believed to be the most aggressive suitor. So that is what Schultz put out there yesterday, that Brady hosted Stafford at his Montana home. The two were hanging out together. They went skiing, and that was the report for Schultz that got things started yesterday.
In the state of Montana, let's remember.
In Montana.
In the state of Montana. Matthew Stafford, who is from Texas, went to college in Georgia, plays in Los Angeles.
Correct.
He was in the state of Montana.
He was in Montana.
So it sounds like he was in the state of Montana by design, intentionally, going to hang out with someone at their place.
It does sound like that.
That's what happened. We can all agree, right? Like, it's pretty hard to... It would be pretty hard to try to walk that one back after that was reported, right?
Now, Ian Rappaport threw it out there shortly after that. Says, Raiders minority owner Tom Brady and Matthew Stafford ran into each other at a ski resort in Montana, sources say. The meeting, unplanned, was not extensive or in-depth and did not include Brady, quote, hosting or recruiting Stafford, despite reports saying otherwise. That was the tweet that Ian Rappaport threw out there later in the day, kind of disputing what Jordan Schultz threw out there. Now, there was also another tweet that Tom Pelissero put out there and said, reach for comment about an internet rumor that Tom Brady hosted Matthew Stafford on a recruiting visit in Montana. Brady's longtime agent, Don Yee, told me, quote, I know that reporters sometimes make mistakes in their haste, but this story's inaccurate. This from Tom Brady's agent.
Well, and that settles it. Whoa, Tom, Matt. Oh, what, dude, what are you doing here? I ski here, too, at the exact same day you ski. Should we go sit down and have a lunch?
And by the way, Rappaport later quote tweeted that tweet from Pelissero and said, Tom Brady and Matthew Stafford, like many other high-profile people, both own houses in the same ski community. So there's the backdrop for all this Brady Stafford stuff, and we're going to get into that specifically here in just a few minutes. Apparently, this led to a confrontation yesterday at the Starbucks in Indianapolis.
There is more than one at a Starbucks.
At a Starbucks in Indianapolis. So Mike Florio put this out there on Pro Football Talk, and it was thrown out by a lot of other people after that. So I guess Ian Rappaport was sitting down with an agent at the Starbucks.
Hey, would you tweet for me? There you go. Here's my phone. Tweet for me.
Apparently, Jordan Schultz walked up to him and was basically like, hey, man, we need to talk, or as Florio says, or specific words to that effect. And Rappaport replied, we're told, quote, we don't need to talk. Schultz then made accusations about Rappaport. Rappaport, we're told, the accusations were unfounded, to which Schultz's final response was, if you have anything to say to me, say it to my effing face. If this continues, we're going to have an effing problem. Rappaport then asked Schultz to step back. If it happens again, we're going to have an effing problem, Schultz said, and now I'll step back. So Florio put
it
out there that there was a verbal accosting that took place at the Indianapolis, one of the Indianapolis Starbucks.
So they screamed some F-bombs at each other a little bit?
Yeah. But apparently now NFL security is looking into it.
I mean, when Keyser, you know, like the coffee runs out, I yell at Key, I scream F-bombs at Keyser. Who cares?
Yeah.
When is Cromwell Media going to look into that?
Rappaport told a witness that NFL security was informed of the exchange because it was regarded as a threat of physical violence. So there you go.
So I've never met Jordan Schultz in person.
We've had him on the show.
I have Rappaport. There's probably very few media dorks who couldn't kick Rappaport's ass, okay? I mean, like it would be a small – like Kaharsky Rappaport would actually be like a pretty good, you know, bantamweight, little flyweight type deal.
Hey, Ian!
I mean, this is – look, man – this is such a great example. Rappaport's on a roll here of just making himself look like a complete goober. He is on a roll. And you know, I'll quickly get into, you know, and I understand, like, if Kaharsky heard this, oh, you're standing up for your coworker. But, you know, Diana Rossini had the report about the meeting with Aaron Rodgers. Look, Diana Rossini is source in the league. She's source like crazy with the Jets. She's broken a lot of news with the Jets, like, and all stuff that has not been refuted. Rappaport tried to refute that report by saying that's not why they got rid of, like, he basically dismissed, like, that's not why they didn't talk about, that's not why they got rid of Aaron Rodgers. She never said they did.
No.
She never said that's why they did. I mean, we read it. It was very, very specifically didn't say that, but that they had the conversation. So he tried to throw cold water on that. Which was garbage. He's got this. What was the tweet we read earlier this week? I mean, just incredible. Shadur's film will speak loudly.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be this transparent about being a complete suck up to your sources. I mean, I you have to have some, like, integrity.
You would think.
Like, no one in the world believes that Matthew Stafford and Tom. Oh, holy cow! What? Oh, you go on the Diamond Hill too? So do I. Let's go down together. It's a joke, and it's just, and but these agents, they run the damn world, and they run people like Ian Rappaport.
You know, my first reaction when I saw this whole thing, and this was before, you know, the Starbucks altercation, but I saw this, and my first reaction was, wait a minute, like, Stafford's allowed to ski? Isn't that, like, prohibited in his contract?
That's a good point, too.
Is he allowed to do that? Is he allowed to go skiing? Like, if he gets hurt skiing.
Bunny Hill only?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good that is a good point.
It was very interesting. So, there's kind of the backdrop of what is going on between Ian Rappaport and Jordan Schultz. In the meantime, what do we make of that report, whether they met on purpose or, I guess, accidentally in Montana, of Brady and Stafford? We'll get into that coming up next and what that could mean on the quarterback front for Matt Stafford and how that could affect the Tennessee Titans. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Come get a taste.
Rick, where'd you get a hand grenade?
I don't know.
All right, let's do this.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Nice job by Keyser there. I mean, it did, and Charles tweeted this yesterday, Joe. It did kind of remind him of the Anchorman feud for the news crews.
Look forward to talking to Charles.
I do, too.
Oh, Stilly's getting all over me about the combine. What's happened at the combine? The top pick has a stress fracture dip. Bleep. I'd say that's news. Yes, Jared. We did find out about an injury this week. Good point. The combine rules, man.
Hey, Shadur's not throwing at the combine, so something's not happening at the combine. There you go.
Has Stilly addressed? I meant to bring this up on my latest win over him and Jerry versus Joe. Has he addressed the fact that Sam Darnold, who was not going to be the top pick, who could have tried to fight to be the top pick, chose to not throw?
I've not heard it.
Okay. I want to know what Stillings thought.
Doesn't mean he hasn't done it, but I haven't
heard it. Because it's just an absolute big, huge deal that Shedeur Sanders isn't throwing at the combine. Just, get out there and compete.
So what do you make of the idea of Stafford and Brady running into each other, planned or otherwise, in Montana, and what that could mean?
Hey!
Oh, my goodness. Tom, is that you? Wow.
Was there a Starbucks up there? Maybe
crazy
that was another Starbucks,
here.
Too.
What do you make
holy
of
bleep and bleep
that idea of the Raiders aggressively pursuing Matthew Stafford, according to Jordan Schultz?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it's very interesting. And so, obviously, this does relate to the Titans, right? This whole thing does. The Giants, you know, the Giants, it's believed. So, this was on the podcast, Tyler Dunn's podcast. Go Long. Great guy, does a great job. We should have Tyler on the show sometime. He writes 8,000-word stories. It's called golong.com. Like that's what they do. He goes long in these stories. He's covering the league for a long time. But he had Stapleton on, Giants, Art Stapleton, I believe, Arthur. Giants beat writer, USA Today Network, and basically very, very plugged in. And to quickly summarize, what he believes is that you know, that the Giants are all in on Stafford, and so it looks like, you know, Giants-Raiders were both very interested. Unfortunately, Giants, you know, Brian Daboll, you better get yourself a Montana ski resort. That's what I'm saying. But if the Giants, he believes if the Giants do not get Stafford, then the Giants are going to trade. They're going to go after Cam Ward. They're going to give the Titans what they want. For number one, the Titans can fall back to 3, which to me is the ideal scenario, because at 3, you can get that guarantees that you're going to get one of these two guys, basically. I mean, that's what it does. Not basically. It does officially guarantee they're moving up to get Cam Ward that you're going to get one of these two guys. Maybe the Browns do take Abdul Carter. There is some talk of that, but you're going to get one of those two guys. So, basically, Titans fandom, whatever the situation happened in Montana, go Brady!
Get it done, Tom. Bring him into the – now, look, outside of the obvious of – you know, look, I understand you being a quarterback and meeting with Tom Brady and all that stuff. I do look at the Raiders roster right now, and I'm like, okay. So, like, who are you throwing the ball to if you're Matthew Stafford there? You got Brock Bowers. That's great. But, like, the receivers need some work. They do have cap space. They do have the ability to draft people, so I know that they can add to that this offseason. I don't know. Are the Raiders really an appealing destination for a Matthew Stafford? And to that point, are the New York Giants an appealing destination to Matthew Stafford? Meanwhile, apparently you've got like Aaron Rodgers out there just floating in the wind. It's like, please, Giants, hello,
yeah.
Hello.
He's like, hey, guys, I'm here in New York. What do you think? I mean, New Jersey. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers looking increasingly desperate. Future Titan. But
has he been to Montana?
I don't know. Do they? They've got caves up there, I think. Yeah, so.
Probably a lot of them.
Yeah, I would think so. This is a, you know, the Raiders thing. I wonder how much, like, cachet, like, they're like, is Brady actually, like, is there some cachet with that? Is there some belief that, you know, Tom Brady's involvement means like they're gonna have their crap together? They haven't had it together for a while.
I mean,
I don't know. I mean, he could be terrible at personnel.
He could be. I don't know. Like, I think from a player perspective, it probably helps, right? Like, if you're Stafford or a quarterback or like any guy, like all these guys playing right now either played with, against, or grew up watching Tom Brady. So there is some cachet that he's got. That's going to go – he's going to be able to connect with some of these guys. Now, having said that, you know, weren't the reports out there that he was all in on Ben Johnson and met with Ben Johnson, and Ben Johnson didn't go there? So, like, it's not like it's, like, some irresistible thing that he's got going on out there. And this goes back to what you're talking about. You got all this going on, and he's calling games. he's calling games.
Not well. Not all that well.
Yeah.
It's I mean, it's a permarant. It's like this is the most popular sports league by far. They run the world. And you are forcing on your consumers because a guy was great. We all would like to watch him play football. You're forcing him on us. And while it's a totally inappropriate situation, there's no way that this is not a conflict of interest.
But by the way, like, this is also a situation, you know, Ian Rappaport can say whatever he wants. But this also is a situation, Joe, where you look back at Brady's playing history and you're like, all right, well, Deflategate. Patriots are caught up in all these different things of cheating scandals, and we're just supposed to believe that Tom Brady was like, hey, fancy seeing you here in Montana, bud. How's it going?
Whoa, it's Matthew. Dude, are you kidding me? Come over here, man. Yeah, it's – and again, like, when it comes down to it, Titans fans, hey, whatever works. Whatever yeah. works. Because, you know, I think the Giants – you know, you got the brother-in-law angle there. So we've talked about that, the speculation. And, you know, the Giants, if Stapleton is correct, then, I mean, the Titans have got to be rooting hard for, I mean, anyone but the Giants.
Correct.
But, so still could be the Rams, too. I don't know how the Rams look at this whole thing.
I don't either.
Like, do they love Darnold? Do they love a draftee? I don't know.
Yeah, like, and then – if you're Stafford, like, it's, let's just assume that the meeting with Brady was not them just running into each other at the ski lodge up there, and that this is some level of intentional. Like, what did Brady say? How seriously would you consider going to the Raiders? Because I have to think, even from his standpoint, like, he's got to look at it right now and say, all right, I've made a lot of money. Of course you want to make more. But you also want to win. So, like, how close are the Raiders, even with him, to winning? How close are the Giants, even with him, to winning? I don't know what the answer to that is. I mean, you could ask the same question, I guess, for the Rams. But the Rams have some good young players coming up. Yeah. I know that Cooper Kupp's going to be gone. But, like, it still feels like Rams is by far his best option here if he wants to win.
Yeah, he thinks his family, the Stafford family, thinks he's getting screwed over. And I don't necessarily disagree.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the best case scenario, I think probably if he had his druthers, it'd be pay me, let's keep going here. We almost beat the Eagles on the road last year in the playoffs, beat the Vikings in the playoffs.
And also, like, where's Pittsburgh in all this? Like, if Stafford's available, if I'm Pittsburgh, I'm trying like mad to get him in there.
Get in there, Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Hey, Matt, Mike Tomlin, I didn't know you go to this beach. What's up, man? Let's surf together.
Golly, this is an unbelievably popular ski resort up here. Good gracious.
By the way, Texter says NBC Sports reports that the altercation was the J.W. Marriott star. Oh, I know that one well. The J.W. Marriott Starbucks. And also, yeah, so Schultz is the son of former Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz. Does he have like a all-the-time free card?
I mean, you can't kick him out.
Don't get into an F-bomb thing with him in a Starbucks. You could get all the free Starbucks you want if you're not a jerk to him.
It's his home turf.
Jeez.
NFL Combine updates all this week on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by the New Cumberland and Boom Boss Pizza, New Cumberland Nashville's resort-style community overlooking downtown on the Cumberland River. And Boom Boss, go try their award-winning pizzas. I love them. Their locations in East Nashville, Spring Hill, and Murfreesboro. Boom Boss Pizza and Watch Bar. Eat, drink, and watch. Andrew Burnett will be with us coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Thursday morning. Preds back in action tonight, taking on the Winnipeg Jets, who have won 11 games in a row. They beat Ottawa last night, though, had the second half of a back-to-back. To help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Predators head coach Andrew Burnett. Andrew, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. Doing good.
Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Andrew, it's the first time we've had you on the show since the Four Nations break. And I'm just curious for our listeners out there, what did you think of the Four Nations tournament? How big was that for the sport of hockey? Did you text like all your American friends when Connor McDavid scored and say, ha ha, take some of that? What was that like for you?
No, I thought it was a wonderful exhibition of hockey, and the timing of it couldn't have been any better. Obviously, with the Arctic freeze of North America, everybody was at, it was in, the Super Bowl was over. Everybody was kind of looking for something to watch, and I think we hooked not only the mainstream hockey fan, but I think a lot of the texts I got, I lived in Florida a little bit in the off season. A lot of the texts and a lot of the people reaching out were very casual or even non-hockey fans that were right into it. And to me, that's great growth for the game. And I think the great appreciation they had of the game and the emotion that the players put in, it was remarkable. And it made a great event, to throw those teams together and to play at the level they played at just shows you how great those players were. So I thought it was great. It was great for the game. I thought the coverage of the games were awesome. And the timing for me, obviously we go up against the NFL. NFL is just one of those sports that's, basically, all year, every day. And we kind of captured that a little bit. So that was big for our game.
Yeah, people are excited about people doing three cone drills this week. So yeah. To your point on the NFL. So
yeah, exactly.
So, some guys get banged up out of that, Andrew, and obviously that's been a lot of the discussion in years past about the Olympics and all that stuff. So there is, there's risk there. There's teams can be hurt by things like this. But do you feel like everybody in this league's on the same page that best on best international is just the good for the game trumps everything else?
I think so. Obviously, those events are always scared, with the Kachucks. And, I don't think Brady played the last couple, and Matthew missed some time and might miss quite a bit of time. So, Charlie McAvoy, and then you get the players that come back. We played Nate McKinnon last Saturday, and, they got to do a back-to-back. And, the emotion and the energy put into, where a lot of players get the off week, it's going to make it hard on our top guys. And as a coach or an organization, you're always fearful of the worst, especially heading down the stretch drive. And, a team like Boston is, kind of knocking on the door to get in the playoffs, and we lose your best defenseman. That makes it tough. But I think the bigger picture, it's not maybe in the coaching and the organizational, but I think for the game, I think we understand that. I think the players, the top players really wanted that. I think if you look at Connor McDavid and McKinnon, and they wanted best on best and said, they wanted to, they thrive in that competition, and they haven't had it for a while. And obviously we're gearing up for the Olympics next year. So I think we understand it. Of course, there's some repercussions that come along with it, but I think for the good of the game, for the growth of the game, especially here in the United States, I think it was awesome. And I think we understand that.
So, Andrew, you said yesterday that Yossi kind of still being evaluated here. Is there any further update on that this morning? And kind of how do you view, in the meantime, where your defense is right now as you guys are trying to kind of get through what's been a lot of injuries here lately on the back end?
Well, hopefully with Roman, we learn a little bit more today. He's going to go through some tests and see how he's feeling, this morning when he gets up. So we really don't have no update on him. As for our defense, it's been a work in progress. I think there's stretches that we played pretty well, and there's stretches that I think it's hindered us a little bit in the way we would like to play, where we're taking on a little bit too much water. And saying that, there's a lot of new faces back there, and there's a little bit of a growing, we went through a little bit of a growing spurt here, and then you add a couple of new faces here this week, losing Roman. It's a little bit of work in progress, something that there's some really good opportunity in that, too, for some of these young kids and some of these guys that are getting second chances in different organizations. And we're, hoping one of them grabs it and steps up and solidifies a position heading into next year. So I think there's great opportunity for some of these guys coming up, but it definitely is a little bit of a work in progress and something that we're continuously trying to get better at, because I think it's such an important part of the game. As you've seen, if you watch the Four Nation Cup, if you watch the United States and even Canada, their backhands were amazing. There was, Florida coming in here last game, there was no space anywhere. And that's kind of what we're aiming for. And there's some opportunity here for these guys to grow into that role.
Andrew, how much of a challenge is it right now for you, just day to day with the situation you guys are in, to, a lot of hockey left, but obviously, the playoffs pretty much not happening at this point, if not mathematically. I mean, you guys are out of it. So how difficult is it to keep things together and to keep guys playing with desperation and to give their best every day?
Yeah, I mean, it's challenging for sure. I think, you know, we could talk about, you know, resetting and you know, these last 28 games, and definitely they mean something. You know, I think when you have a little bit of a veteran group, you know, it's been a year that, you know, it's been heavy, and the expectations, talked about it from in our room and from outside, were tremendous, and we kind of didn't get there. And so there's a little bit of that little hangover or a cloud hanging around, I guess you can say, that is, it seems to be always there, and we kind of poke our head out of it and seem like we're going to kind of get out of it, and then we slip down a few steps, or, you know, slip on a rock and kind of go back down again. And I give a lot of credit for the group. I think our effort's been there every night. I haven't, you know, maybe twice before the break, I maybe questioned a little bit of that and our resilience to put it in. And it hasn't been gone. I think when you got every guy that's really feeling they have more to give and hasn't been their best season, and you get shut out the other night, and a game that you had so many opportunities to capture some magic, and we weren't able to grab it. It was a hard fought game against Florida. I mean, they're a really good team, but we showed up and we had effort, and we, you know, the jersey, we made a few, you know, young or immature, you know, some mistakes. I thought in Florida, we hung in there. Obviously, they're a really good team and gave them too many power plays, but the effort was there. So it's really challenging. I wish you'd have a magic potion to say, hey, listen, let's clear the air, let's clear the room. Let's just try to finish on the right foot, and whatever that may be, you know. But it to get that and to say it is easy, it's, we got to find a way to do it. But again, the only way you'll get through these things is with effort. So we keep pounding on the door. We keep showing up to work, and you never know what can happen.
Andrew, last thing for you here. You know, we know the trade deadline is about a week out, and Barry's talked about it. There are going to be some moves that are coming here. What's kind of this next week look like for you in terms of the communication with Barry? And do you say anything to some players that, you know, that could potentially be on the move this week? A lot of veteran guys that have been through this before. Do you just kind of leave it alone? Like, how do you view this next week here before the deadline?
Well, I think you're in constant communication with your players, and I think compassion, and this is a tough time, and nobody wanted to be here. You know, we wanted to be buyers, not sellers. And we understand, in saying that, a lot of the guys that are movable or older players have been through this, and even no matter, I know, no matter how many times you go through it, it's still extremely difficult. You know, you got one foot here, one foot somewhere else, and you don't know where the unknowns are, and you don't even know what's going to happen. But it's a real, pretty much a high anxiety week coming up here for our group and where we're at. And you just try to make sure you try to help them as best you can. And it's hard. I think for me, going through it so many times as a player, even this position, and really the mindset is business as usual. And you try to play your best game every given night. You can't control the uncontrollable. You can't control, as a player, you know, you're not making these decisions. All you can do is play your best game, and those decisions will be made for you, probably depending, you know, on how you play and where you go. So it's a hard week. You know, I feel for them, because I said this multiple times, this is not where we wanted to be or expected to be, but we're here. So now we got to deal with it. We got to deal with the ramifications of where we're at. And our groups, like I said, have done that and showed up to work every night. And some nights we maybe don't have it as, you know, in the condensed schedule, but the effort you can never question with our group.
Well, Andrew, really appreciate your time this morning. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll see you later this morning at the morning skate, and talk to you soon.
All right, guys, take care.
Sounds good. Andrew Burnett, Preds head coach, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. The Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up next. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into all things NFL, the Tennessee Titans, with him. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Glorious, and I'm here, I love it there, till I'm victorious. It's so stupid.
It's a terrible song. Glorious. It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. Joe Rexroad, the floor is yours.
Glorious, and I will defend. I will defend. Is that what he say? I won't give in.
He does say defend.
Yeah.
Like, right now.
I'm trying to. I'm Willie Donick, and I will defend. I will defend. All right. Are we gonna rip Willie now? Is it time to rip Willie?
Maybe.
It's kind of unfair. Like, we really should just have. We talked about, like, Willie coming in sometime. You know.
Problem is this time of year it's kind of tough because Willie is always, you know, traveling and all that stuff. But yeah.
But I get excited about the opportunity to get after anybody not named Stilly, because the Stilly stuff
gets
old.
Easy. Yeah.
You know, it's like tired ripping Stilly, wired ripping Willie.
Yeah.
Now, of course, it's hard. Yeah, Willie is, frankly, he doesn't have a bunch of goober fanboy takes like Stilly does. So, I mean, it's harder. However.
It is harder.
However.
Significantly.
Yeah, Mike Borgonza, he wakes up at 4 a.m. Oh, my God.
So, with Willie, we have a little thing going. We had it yesterday. He could have accosted me in the parking lot. I saw Willie get out of his car in the parking lot yesterday. He shook his head at me in scorn.
It's like, Rexroad, I'm so disappointed with you.
But to be fair, to have a real conversation about this is going to be less ranty. I guess to give it a headline, and you know, I just. The big thing that bothers me here is that Willie gets to – he's not the problem. Willie.
Discussing Eugene Saros, by the way.
Yeah. I guess I should maybe bring up the topic, yes. So here's my rant. Willie, we never said UC Saros is the problem. We never said that. But he is a concern. There is a concern. They sign him to a long-term deal. It's a legitimate, fair discussion to wonder – if he is going to live up to that contract. Now, as Willie brought into evidence, they had a great interview.
Kevin Woodley on.
And I did listen, and Willie told me to listen. I went back, listened to it, and it's a compelling interview, and there's a lot of good points made in it. And I don't think – you tell me. Sometimes I forget what I say and what you say. I don't think either of us said, he's screwed, it's over. I mean, again, Stilly's over here like he must sent back to Finland,
right.
You know, in a box. I mean, like, we're not there, okay? I mean, but there's concern. I mean, there is concern. It's legitimate. It's okay. And by saying there's concern is not saying UC Saros is the biggest problem, he's the worst goalie in the league, et cetera, et cetera. That's not what we're saying. So, again, there's – plenty of discussion that can happen back and forth. And honestly, when it comes down to it, all of us are going to sit here and we're going to see.
Yeah.
We're going to sit here. We're going to find out. But for – I just – you know, Willie pointed out, you know, he had a great game the other day. And there
– He did.
Yes. There. It's so bad. It gets interesting when you talk about things being so bad around him as they are. And so then you get into, again, the goals, the, you know, saves by expected, all that stuff, and how legitimate are those stats. And – a very good thing that we've brought up before that's a real-life example for us is that Kevin Lankinen's underlying numbers per the metrics people in this league were terrible, and the Preds signed, and we said, really? And then he came in, and he was good.
Yeah.
So I trust that these teams have better data than we do, no question. So what's the internal, you know, puck-by-puck evaluation of UC Saros compared to what the metrics world? It may be different. Also – if you've watched him play this year, you cannot in any good conscience say that he has not had a tough year and that there's not concern. Wait, you cannot say that there's not concern?
Yes. Double negative.
Thank you. Is that right? Yes. You know what I'm saying. I mean, there's concern. He's not the biggest problem. This team can't score a freaking goal to save its life.
This team has an unbelievable amount of problems right now, yes.
But – yeah, it's just – that's not – so these arguments get into these things where – and this is actually something Stilly does. You know, he's kind of losing an argument. And then it's like he changes the framing of it. We're not saying he's the biggest problem at all. I'm concerned. And
yeah.
And that interview was very good. It doesn't erase the concern.
No. Like, look, will UC Saros' numbers your traditional stats – like his, you know, people are talking about save percentage on the text line right now. Will his save percentage, his goals against, the wins, losses. Will that improve when the team gets better around him, particularly like defensively in front of him? Yeah. Like, would that improve if they could play a lick of defense in front of him right now? Sure, of course it would. Would, you know, the wins, losses part of this improve if the Predators could score some goals while he's in net? Yeah. Like, I think they were at, I want to say, like 2.21 goals per game while he's starting. And that was before they hung up one the other night against Florida. So it's continuing to go down. Of course it would. The larger point is he's about to be 30, and the 8-year contract has not kicked in yet. And, you know, Willie sent you and I a piece yesterday where the players have still kind of ranked him as a tier one goalie.
Yeah.
In that description, it talks about like a coach around the league looking at him and saying, I'm concerned about him moving forward into the contract with the size. Like the size,
which we've talked
when you're
about,
relying on athleticism later in your career, when that starts to go, what does it look like? Right now, is that a huge concern at age 29? Not necessarily.
But he has had injuries,
but he has had injuries. And look, the bottom line is, like, and I think even Willie would admit this, is there a lot going on right now that's a problem around him? Of course there is. Is he their biggest problem? No, he's not. You know, Willie comes back with, like, he's still slightly above expected. It's like, well, they're paying him to be way above expected. Like, they're paying him to be the elite of the elite. And he has not been that in a couple of years.
Yeah, and I think that you have to – and look, you may have a point, but I think you have to take some liberties with, you know, because you know your team can't score, you press more. Or like, you know, and you know what? I'm sure there are negative effects psychologically of being on such a bad team. But, I mean, it's a concern. Gabe says – and I want to address this. Gabe in the text line says, you guys really think the TV voice of the Predators is going to say a bad thing about any player? He's on their payroll. He's told not to criticize any players. It's a worthless interview to talk to him. Okay, I will say this, Gabe. You know, first of all, Willie has a talk show, so that he he does a show here. Yeah, I mean, you know, and he's doing play by play for the Preds. I don't think he sits there and rips them as a play by play announcer for a team. Willie is, I think, more willing to talk about things than any play by play announcer I've seen. You know, now most of them don't have sports talk shows.
Correct.
But that's the hat he's wearing when we're having these discussions. So, you know, it's.
I will say I listened to the the Colorado TV broadcast the other day. I was downstairs for the third period, and, like, their broadcast was on. So I just listened to it. And I largely like those guys, but some of the blatant homerism going on there was pretty wild. It's like they scored, and they're like, those darn inboards here in Nashville again. The inboards have screwed the Avs again. It's like, oh, boy. Here we go. It's good stuff.
Yeah, Willie.
Justin Barron got high-sticked in the face. That Avs guy didn't see him there. And it's like, well, that's great. You know, you could have the stick down. You don't have to have the stick in the air when the puck's not there. Good stuff.
There is some tremendous stuff out there on the homer front of play-by-play.
Nobody will ever touch the Minnesota Vikings guy. Ever.
Who is that?
I don't remember his name. Paul something.
Okay.
I've sent you some clips from him. It's unbelievable.
It's very good.
Yeah. Unbelievable. But, yeah, we're in a feud with Willie.
Yeah, we're feuding with Willie. David says, Jared always seems concerned with UC not winning a playoff game. Playoff series. He's won playoff games. I don't I'm not as concerned about that with him. I don't think he's had the right opportunity to win a series. Well, I agree with that. I've argued that. It's like, he elevated them in the series against the Hurricanes. He did. He elevated them in the series against the Hurricanes. Obviously, he was hurt the one three years ago. So, that's not the concern. Is just him as a player. What is he as a player? What is he going to be as a player as he starts making this money? And you and I were on the move away from him a year ago train. And I think we're going to end up being right. I'd love for us to be wrong.
I would too.
I really would.
I would too. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. Charles Robinson will be with us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans, the NFL Combine, the feud at the Starbucks between Rappaport and Schultz. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.